We welcome everyone to the Wayne County Bible Center on this October 10th, 2021. We praise God for all the folks that are with us in our service today and the folks that are listening on our website. We are back in Wayne County after going to my hometown in Charleston, South Carolina, and doing the service for my dad as we buried him in our hometown, his hometown. And I want to thank everyone for their prayers and their support. So we are going to be today in Psalm 116, verse 15, a message I have entitled, Precious in His Sight. And I will read the verse, and then we will go forward. In verse 15 of Psalm 116, the psalmist says this, Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, I want you to understand something. We all understand from our point of view, we all have a perspective concerning death. And folks will tell you death is a part of life in this life. But today, I want us to take a few moments and look at God's perspective concerning the physical death of His children. God's perspective concerning the physical death of our loved ones who have gone on before us. And we want to get an understanding of why God would say the death of His saints is precious to Him. And we're going to examine that in the Word of God today. So let's go to Him. Father, as I call upon You, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin that I confess unto You. And I pray, Lord Jesus, to be forgiven and to be cleansed by Your blood, as 1 John says. And Father, I ask to be filled with and anointed by Your Spirit in a spirit of humility and clarity, to share Your truth today, to wash the feet of the people who are listening as a servant, and to give all of us hope and understanding through the wonderful promises of Your Word. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that Your Holy Spirit will lead us now, and that we will bring all praise and honor and glory unto You. And I want to thank You for all the prayers that have been lifted up for Patty and myself and Daniel and Kylie, for all the strength, all the comfort, and all the protection in all of the travels, and in taking care of all the details by Your miraculous hand. I thank You and I praise You, Lord Jesus, and I thank You for the privilege of the simplicity and the purity of being in this pulpit today to share the truth of Your Word, and to feel and receive the encouragement of my brothers and sisters in Christ. In Your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. This has been a verse of Scripture that I have loved probably for over three decades, but I have never preached, never studied, never meditated upon. But as I have in the last week or so, I want to read it to you again. Verse 15 says, Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, that word precious in the Hebrew is yakar. Y-A-Q-A-R, yakar, and it means valued by, to be valued by, to be important to, or to be precious to. And so, we say this, why would a saint's death be precious unto the Lord? And I'm going to show you in a moment, but I'm going to give you a little hint or a little clue. And it's simply this, why would the life of a loved one be precious unto us? Now, I just want you to think that. Why is Lehman and Margie and Cleo's life precious unto me right now at this moment? Why is my life precious unto them right now at this moment? So go with me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And let me show you why the death of a child of God is precious unto the Lord, because this is something that our God wants. And in John 17, as Jesus is praying before his arrest, before he goes to the cross, in John chapter 17, verse 24, the scripture says this: Father, it is my desire, that they, the disciples, whom you have given me, one day be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory and the glory of heaven, which you gave me, because you love me before the foundation of the world. Now, why is the death of the saints precious unto Jesus? Because, Jody, Jesus wants us to be with him. Amen. Just like I want my loved ones to be with me, David Ruddle, Jesus wants our loved ones to be with him even more than we want our loved ones to be with us. And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You say, well, what do you mean, brother? Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, didn't just create us and put us in the Garden of Eden. Before man fell, before man sinned, when man was living in a state of innocence and righteousness, where the presence of God could come and be with him face to face, Jesus didn't miss one day of not coming into the garden and walking and talking with Adam and Eve. And that's why when they sinned and they hid, when Jesus showed up, he goes, and he knew where they were hiding, but he was letting us know that this was a regular occurrence, a consistent occurrence. So he said, Adam, where are you? Because every other day, you were meeting me, and we were walking and talking and fellowshipping and communing. So what I want you to understand, death for us, physical death, is the only passageway for God to bring us into his presence and into his glory to enjoy a level of fellowship and communion that we cannot have here. And you know, there are times I know as a loving Heavenly Father, he is looking down on us and we're crying out and we're struggling and we're going through things, and I bet the Lord just wants to snap his fingers and bring us into his presence so that he can comfort us and love on us and let us see him. What did Paul say? I look through a glass dimly in 1 Corinthians, but there's coming a time I'm going to see him face to face, where Jesus knows that every problem we have can be taken care of in a blink of an eye if he were to just take us out of here, hold us, let us see him face to face. But you know why he doesn't do it? Because it's not time yet and there's still stuff for us to do. And he knows there's still stuff for us to do. And there's people we need to minister to. And there's people that need to get saved because of our lives. But from his perspective, just like from ours, we don't want to see our children hurt. We don't want to see our grandchildren hurt. And anytime they're going through a rough time, we want to get them out of it. And we want to hold them. We want to take care of them. Well, I want you to understand the Lord feels that way infinitely, even more than us. But he doesn't do it because there's still time for us here to do what God wants us to do. So you say, why is it precious in his sight? Because that's finally the time when the Lord gets to say, come home, and I'm taking you out of all this suffering, out of all this temptation, out of all this trial. And aside from the rapture, that's the only way we can go into the presence of God. So death is precious in the eyes of the Lord. Now, let me give you another reason why it's precious. Go with me to Psalm 103. There are several things God wants to do for us here on earth. And we pray about those things. And we ask God to help us with those things. And He does. But we live in a fallen world. Man sinned the first Adam. And he brought sin. And sin resulted in decay and death. So we live with bodies that get sick. We live with bodies that can feel pain. We live in a mental state where we can experience anxiety and fear and worry and despondency and depression. We battle sin. A lot of times the good Lord will give us victory over certain sins in our life, but some sins have strongholds. And man, they're hard to get over, but we keep seeking the victory, and God helps us, and there are times we even find victory over those strongholds. But I want you to understand that physical death is the only way for God to accomplish certain things. And I'm going to tell you what those certain things are in Psalm 103. Verse 1 says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits and blessings, who forgives all your iniquity and sin, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life totally from decay and destruction, and who crowns you with all His loving kindness and tender mercy. And He satisfies your mouth with good things and renews and restores your strength, health, and vitality like the eagles." Now, what do you want to say, Brother Leo? I want you to understand this. Physical death is the only way we can be totally healed of all our diseases. I want to praise God. At the one moment when I leave this earth to go into the glory of God, I will never feel pain again. I will never suffer again. I will never feel anxiety. I will never feel depression. I will never feel discouragement. And I want you to understand something else. Look at what it says. Verse 3, "He forgives all of your iniquity." I want you to understand something. There is coming a day when I leave here that I will never sin again.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And the only way I'm never going to sin again is to not be on the face of the earth one more day or one more moment. Because as long as I'm here, I'm going to have the capability and I'm going to fall into sin. You know, what's there is not a faith is sin. So I want you to understand that there is coming a time When we are removed. What did Paul say? "Lord, please deliver me from the body of this death." Romans chapter 7. The body of this destruction. Well, I want you to understand something. At the moment you leave this place and go to be with Jesus, you will never again say, "Oh, wretched man that I am." I want to say that one more time. Whenever you leave this place to go be with Jesus, you will never again say, "Oh, wretched man that I am." How many times in life do we say that? I mean, I say it all the time. I feel like a failure, you know, on so many levels, so many different times. And I say, boy, I'm right there with Paul today. "Oh, wretched man that I am." Well, praise God. Miss Cole, my daddy, any one of our loved ones that have gone on before us will never again have to say, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Amen. They never again have to say, "Lord, forgive me." Amen. They never again have to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't feel this way." Never again. So precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And that's two of the reasons why. Now go back to Psalm 116. And I know this is basic, but I'm going to say it. In Psalm 116 verse 15, it says this: "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I want to grab that phrase, in the sight of the Lord. I want you to understand something. The moment that you take your last breath here on earth is no different than any other moment since your first breath. You are in the sight of the Lord. He is watching over you moment by moment by moment. God provides, he takes care of every intimate detail throughout our journey in life. And every one of us can say that. Philippians 4:19, my God has supplied all my need through his riches in glory by Christ Jesus every moment of my life, even when I was lost. Lehman, you say that all the time. Even when you were lost, God was showing you mercy. Even when we were lost, God was blessing us. Even when we were lost, God was making a way for us to come to salvation. So God's eye, not only on the sparrow, but on all of us, every moment of our life. Because what does Peter say? God desires all men to be saved. So every moment, every intimate detail of our life has been under the provision of God as we've gone on this journey and every step of it. So go with me to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. And look at what the scripture says, and I'll tie it in to Psalm 23. Every need I have is met in Christ every moment, even my last moment physically here on earth. And in Psalm 48, verse 14, the scripture says this. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. So the good shepherd that leads you beside the still waters, that leads you to the green pastures. Now that's the provision, Psalm 23, that we have in life. The still waters, the green pastures, that prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. So every moment of life, every moment of life, every moment of life, I'm looking unto God to supply my needs. I'm looking unto God to take care of me. At the moment of death, that guide, that good shepherd, is even there for us to take care of the most intimate details of that final moment. So go with me to Psalm 23 and let me show you what it says about our guide when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. And let me just make this point again to you. Why is it called the shadow of death and not the valley of death? You say, Brother Leo, why is it called the valley of the shadow of death and not the valley of death? Well, you can think of two things that can pass over you. You can think of a train, a locomotive, or you can think of an 18-wheeler truck. And if I'm standing on a railroad track in front of a locomotive and I get hit by it, I am going to feel the impact of the pain, and it's probably going to result in death. And if I stand on an interstate highway in a lane where an 18-wheel truck's coming and I stand in front of it, I'm going to feel the impact that's going to result in my physical death, suffering, trauma. But if I stand on the side of that track or that highway, when that locomotive passes by and the shadow passes by, I don't feel a thing. And if I'm standing on the side of that interstate and that 18-wheeler goes by and the shadow passes over me, I don't feel a thing. So I want you to understand the valley of the shadow of death means the child of God feels no impact of death and its consequences because Jesus is taking care of them for us. It's just a passageway from this life into the glory of God. That's what he said. That they be with me and behold my glory. And I'm going to tell you something again. You know, when our loved ones are suffering and they say, people say, well, you know your dad's better off now, or you know your mama's better off now. And I understand that. Like Patty said a million times, she goes, I understand the truth. I'm just still hurting. I'm missing him. But the bottom line is this. I understand we get sick. My dad was in bad shape. But we got to learn something, people. Your best day on earth doesn't compare to what God's got waiting on you.
Amen.
You know, I know people mean well, but come to an understanding.
Yeah.
You know, I feel pretty good today.
Yeah.
I feel strong today. You know, Randy, we go fishing today. I'm strong enough to go fishing, strong enough to go hunting, you know, strong enough to do a lot of things. But I want to understand, I want you to know, my best day physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever, spiritually, if I could put all that in one day, it is not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us. So, death for us is a shadow, a passing shadow. And sometimes when those clouds go over the sun, I mean, you got bright sunshine, a cloud, and in 2 seconds, bright sunshine again. That's how Jesus wants us to understand physical death. And I keep saying physical death because, Judy, we ain't going to die spiritually.
Amen.
Jesus said, those that believe in me shall never die.
Amen.
We're never going to be separated from the presence of Jesus spiritually. Now, look what he says. Yea, verse 4, Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So, all my needs are met in life by Jesus. Every one of my needs are met in life. So what need may I have at the point of death? What might my needs be at the point of death if I am conscious at the point of death? What might my needs be? Well, look at what he says. I will fear no evil. I'm not going to fear any bad thing. I want you to understand, at the point of death, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, fills us with assurance, comfort, peace, and strength, according to that verse. God is our comfort. God is our consolation. So at the moment I leave here, well, Brother Leo, what do you think you're going to be feeling? I think I'm going to be feeling peace. I know I'm going to be feeling comfort, assurance, because just as Stephen was about to give up the ghost, well, what are you going to see, Brother? I'm going to see the same thing Stephen saw. He's a child of God, Cleo, indwelt by the Spirit, just like I am. He saw the heavens open. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He saw his arms outstretched coming to get him. What does it say there? It says, thou art with me. Your rod and your staff are comforting me. So what did Stephen see? He saw Psalm 23, verse 4. He saw Jesus coming to be with him.
Amen.
So at that moment, and I'm going to tell you something, the Lord's excited about that. You know how sorrowful we are when we lose a loved one? We can't even come up with the multiplication numbers to say how joyful Jesus is to receive one of us. And you say, well, Brother Leo, I still miss my loved one. Brother Leo, I still hurt for my loved one. Jesus understands that. But he does say unto you today, take comfort. He's with me. Take comfort. She's with me. Take comfort. It's unbelievable. One day you're going to experience. It's indescribable. One day you are going to experience. So, this is, and let me share one more with you, and then I want to share some personal things. Go with me to Romans chapter 14. You know, Lehman, when he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us, Boy, that's a mouthful.
Amen.
You know, that's something. And that's what Paul meant. And I want to praise God for this verse. And this gives me great peace. Romans 14, verse 7 says this. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Now on our side of it, it's to give glory unto God as we live and die. From his side of it, he possesses us in life and in death. Know ye not that you're no longer your own? You belong to the Lord. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived. You know, Ken made a point in the music about that empty tomb. I want to praise the Lord. What the world calls Easter, what we call here Resurrection Sunday. I want to praise God every Resurrection Sunday. I'm not just celebrating the empty tomb of my Lord. I'm celebrating my empty tomb and your empty tomb.
Amen.
So we physically died, rose, and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. And I just want to praise God. Paul said to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. So I want you to understand that you are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Your soul is where your spirit is contained. Your spirit is the capability of knowing God. It's in you. And the Bible says that at the point of salvation, your spirit and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, unite as one. And until that happens, you're going to have a void. There's going to be an emptiness or a gnawing. Now, some folks can sear their conscience. Some folks can reject conviction. Some folks can harden their hearts and get to a point where they live and they don't notice the conviction and the gnawing as they once did. But there have been times in everyone's life and seasons where they are convicted and they go through that time where they know there's something missing. So your spirit and Christ's spirit come together within your soul. You become saved. That's why I tell folks, I'm a born-again Christian, cleansed by his blood, saved by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and indwelt by his spirit. What are you? Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, that don't mean as much as what I just told you I am. It's just not as powerful. I mean, there's power in saying who you are. You know, I'm a child of God. Well, I'm a Methodist. Well, that ain't telling me nothing. All that tells me is y'all usually beat the Baptists to the buffet. That's all I know about the Methodists. But anyway, but the bottom line is my soul that contains my spirit is what Paul says is absent from the body at the point of my physical death. My soul is my consciousness. It's my mental ability, it's my cognizance, it's my emotions, it's my will, the choices I make, it's my deepest feeling, it's my memories, it's my forethought, it's my afterthought. So everything you're experiencing right now as you sit in these seats is your consciousness. You know where you are. You know who you're listening to. You know what you're looking at in this Bible. You know the thoughts you're having right now about your family, this afternoon, what's going to happen this week, whatever. That's all contained in your soul. So at the moment of your physical death, the child of God's consciousness leaves here into the presence and the glory of God.
Amen.
And it says that our souls are clothed with the heavenly. We're recognizable, but I think we're effervescent. I think We're not opaque, but I do think we're recognizable. And we're awaiting the time where we're reunited with a glorified body that'll come out of the grave. But if I were to go to heaven today, I would recognize my mom and dad. And I think they're clothed in some kind of a heavenly white linen. And I'm not going to give you all the scriptures, but I have to go back into Daniel's prophecies and others. But we can tie these things together to a point. And so at that moment, your consciousness goes into the glory of God. And you are seeing, you know, my sight is part of my consciousness. You know, what I see with my physical eyes registers in that part of my brain to let me know what I'm seeing. So you know what you're seeing, you know who you're with, you know what you're experiencing. And so that's why all that joy and peace and all the gloriousness of that gets tied in to that moment when we leave here. And that's why we always say, well, you know, folks sure wouldn't want to come back. No, Paul says it is incomparable.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are those false religions that teach what's called a soul sleep. That's a lie.
Yeah.
You go in consciousness into heaven and into glory. Because if not, you wouldn't be part of the cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. People say all the time, well, I feel the presence of my love. They're cheering you on. That's Hebrews 12:1. I'm not telling you this to make you feel better. So understand the truth of the gospel, of the message. So we are in a conscious setting with the Lord and with other children of God that have gone on to be with us. That is why death is precious. The death of the saints is precious in the eyes of God. And that's wonderful. Now I want to share with you the central verse that I preached in my dad's message. And I told him this for years that I was going to preach it. So I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to be very brief, but I want to share this with you. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, the scripture says this. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I told my dad 1,000 times in life that he was the most contented person I'd ever known. And he was content with what he had. I said at Dad's funeral, he loved life. He loved people. He loved his home. And he loved that backyard, Ken, with that 100 acres of saltwater marsh behind it. And he loved magnolias and gardenias and camellias and fig trees and peach trees and every plant in the world he could root, he could seed, he could grow. He knew the people at the Clemson Agricultural Office by first name. He called, he went by, he loved. Clematis, morning glory, day lilies. Every step you take, you cry when you're there. Because it's another plant. It's another. I've got the last azalea he rooted in a pot behind my house. I've got gardenias, magnolias, and camellias right there, Randy, in our yard there. Down the road from you. I've got a magnolia that I brought home years ago in a van that is now 20-something feet tall. Three or four gardenias, azaleas. He absolutely loved being outside. And he was the most contented man I knew. Now, he loved that food and raiment part. He didn't care about the raiment. Last three or four years, Patty'd say, "Daddy, people think you have no money. You can't go out in this old ratty t-shirt." She'd go, "Dad, you didn't wear that to the dentist, did you?" "Well, yeah, I wore it to the dentist." "No." Yeah, you know. But when it came to food, my dad loved to eat. He thought two for one meant you had to buy both of them. He really did. So if it was two for one ice cream, he got 2 gallons about every other day. And on Sunday when he went to Publix to get his fried chicken, it was 2 breasts for $5. So he'd keep 1 breast and take the other across the street to his neighbor Bill. And Patty goes, "Dad, you can just get 1 for $2.50. But Dad never understood that concept. So I always said that I was going to read that verse about contentment. 2 days after the funeral, Patty found one of Daddy's Bibles. Dad had 3 or 4. Daddy's favorite preachers, number one was Adrian Rogers. Well, let me say this. Number two was Adrian Rogers. Number three was Charles Stanley. And number four was David Jeremiah. And he listened to them consistently. I don't want to tell you who number one was. But anyway, 2 through 4 we know. And so anyway, this Bible's got Father's Day cards and other things in it. But here he wrote about 4 things on the inside of the Bible, and she found it. And one of the things he wrote was this. And this is a prayer. He wrote, "The good Lord bless me with the gift of contentment today." And I said, "Man, that's fabulous." And I never knew he prayed that, but evidently he did. "The good Lord bless me with the gift of contentment today." And then he wrote this, "He who has health has hope, and he who has hope has everything." And for 87 years, God blessed Dad with the health to live in that house by himself after my mama died. October 28th this year, he would have been with us a year. So we moved him here October 28th last year. So we praise God for that. I want to share with you a quote he told me 100 times. He grew up blessed in the city of Charleston as an only son. And he was spoiled and ruined by his mama and by his dad. His dad was an auto mechanic for the first car dealership in Charleston, South Carolina, Holman Buick. And his mama stayed at home and raised him. But Daddy would tell you he was undisciplined and never had to do a lot. He enjoyed his summers in the city of enjoyed his life in the city of Charleston. Spent his summers with his cousins on the farms in Walterboro, South Carolina, in Ravenel, South Carolina. But he said getting drafted saved his life. He said because when he got drafted for the first time in his life, he learned discipline. And he was drafted into the Army on June 10th, 1953. He went to Fort Jackson in Columbia for basic, and then he was at Fort Benning. They got orders to go to Korea about a week before they were to ship out. The Korean War ended, but he was at Jackson, and he was at Fort Benning the same time Joe Morris was. Joe Morris was exactly Dad's age. And so Joe Morris and I would talk about that a tremendous amount of time. We have tons of pictures of him in the Army. Tons of pictures. Mortars, machine guns, tanks, the whole thing. Just tons of them. But when he was 12 years old, On August 15th, 1945, it was VJ Day, Victory in Japan. He lived in the city of Charleston, but in the backyard, his dad had him a Shetland pony. He saddled up that Shetland pony. He took an American flag, and he rode down Calhoun Street, turned onto King Street, which is the main thoroughfare in Charleston, South Carolina, where all the shops are. And he waved that flag and rode it from Midtown all the way to the Battery. And he told me that story 100 times. He saddled up his little horse named Pet, and he waved that flag on VJ Day and rode it in downtown Charleston. Today, we have the flag that the Army presented to Daniel. It's up here by the flowers that the church sent for us, you folks. And I will thank them in a moment, but I want to read you, if you can see, it's the folded flag that drapes the coffin of our U.S. veterans. Praise God for each of you who are in this room. Praise God for each of you who are listening that have sent your support. But it says this: it's a symbol for those who answered the call, and it's a reminder for those who serve today, because they may fall. It is only presented to those who have served. It is considered an honor that is well deserved. All of our soldiers will have their own story, but for this one, his is ended as they hand over Old Glory. Our freedom is earned by their burdened scars. And let us always remember, as we look at these stars, and let us remember that their life was never in vain. Even today, as our hearts feel this pain, as this star-spangled banner is folded tight, it is a constant reminder of the soldier's might. As we hold this folded flag, it's a way to remember the proud honor of our fallen service member. And they present that to the family. They presented it to Dad. Dad always loved taps. He loved to hear taps. They played taps at that graveside. We had 2 African American active service personnel. 1 man, 1 woman. She actually played the taps. And I want to thank the U.S. Army. They spent time with Daniel before the service, because I requested through Mike McDaniel, our funeral director in Charleston, that they give it to Daniel. And they did an amazing, amazing job. And so I just want to thank all of our U.S. service members, active duty and veterans, for the sacrifice that all of you have made and continue to make today. And God bless America, and God bless this flag. And if you can't stand to it, you might as well just get out of here. Find a country where you can stand for a flag. I want to thank our church family for all your prayers, support, encouragement, your texts, your cards, your meals, your phone calls. Invaluable. Invaluable. The flowers here, we wrestled. We don't have a vase on Mom and Dad's grave headstone. In the middle, it's a dual headstone. In the middle, we've got a cross, and below each name, we've got Bibles. Mama didn't want a vase. Mama also dared us to put Together Forever on there. She goes, "You better not put Together Forever on that thing." And I said, we won't do it, Mom. People would tell me all the time, they'd say, well, your daddy's with your mama now. I said, I don't know, heaven's a big place. I'm sure she's hiding. Mama loved daddy, but just in her own way. But anyway, it's just the South, man. You're either from the South or you don't understand it. But anyway, I want to thank you so much for the flowers. I want to thank you for the plant arrangement that's beautiful that I know you folks have lovingly prepared for Daddy, for Patty. I want to thank all those in our extended church family that listen to our website, your love, your support, your texts, your emails. Thank you. Love you folks too. I want to thank Coach Sisk. It is invaluable, the peace I have in knowing his dedication to the study and teaching of the Word of God. Miss Pat was supposed to be here. I know she battles a lot of things. I want to thank Miss Pat in a special way. Her love, her tenderness, her compassion is unsurpassed. She would go to the hospital at night, 9 and 10 at night, and take Dad banana pudding, just spend time with him. Phenomenal. Pat told me the first day she came to the house when we were calling in home health care and then hospice that I would learn so much and be a better pastor after going through this with the dementia, that God was going to use it, and I leaned on her words many times. I want to thank all home health care, especially Allison, her daughter plays for Loretta basketball. Wes Donaldson, God bless him. I coached Wes in travel ball years ago. So kind to Dad. I've really got to thank Misty Daniel and Rhonda LeMay. They were amazing as hospice. Christy and Ginger have her child, Misty's, in class. Rhonda LeMay, I can't remember. Rhonda Ray, I think, was her maiden name. Rhonda went to school with a lot of folks here. Rhonda is amazing. She lives out railroad bed now. They were there for Dad every moment. I can almost do, Misty would walk in the room, she'd go, Leo, I love you. She'd come in there, Hot Rod. And then she'd say, don't you go anywhere till I get back now. And they were just amazing. Rhonda is absolutely amazing. She would stay with Dad on Wednesday nights. All the nurses at Wayne County Hospital, I thank you. I appreciate you so much. I've got to thank Mona and Randy. Invaluable. They would sit with Dad so Patty and I could go to doctors and different things. Randy was there to help us carry Dad in the last time we got him out of the hospital. They have taken care of our cats and our property for 21 years. And as I said, they spent hours putting the cameras in, syncing it to the app. Randy, that is just phenomenal. It is phenomenal. We can now talk to our cats when we're away. They'll be on the porch. Patty will push that thing and say, Posse, Pa, and Posse will go meow. And I can't tell you all they say because they use some rough language when we're out of town. They're upset with us, but it's amazing, you know. It freaks them out, but... I want to thank all our ladies from the church. Sarah's in the back, but please let her know, who came and sat with Dad. It was just amazing. I have got to thank Roger Ballantyne and Kim from Shackelford. They did above and beyond for us in every aspect. Death certificates. He knew I was going out of town. Roger is amazing, and we are so blessed. Mike McDaniel, who is a dear friend of mine, he is semi-retired. He and I have been doing funerals in the Lowcountry of South Carolina for 37 years. He told me that their professionalism was unmatched. He said, y'all are very blessed to have them in your town. And I got to thank Mike He's incredible. He and his wife Patsy came just to hear me preach the funeral. The funeral director's wife came. They used to listen to me at Jedburgh 35 years ago, and I praise God for both of them. I want to thank all my family, friends, dads, neighbors who came to that service. I know some of you are listening and will listen to this. God bless you. Dad's neighbors were amazing. They continue to be amazing. I want to thank Coach Bird and Sherry. They have called continually these last 3 weeks. I appreciate their support. And I have just got to say, I praise God for the ladies' Bible study at the Cumberland Presbyterian Church here, right over there. They have supported my family for years in tough times. They're huge supporters of Bethel because Bethel's Cumberland Presbyterian. They have been there for Daniel. They have been there for us. Please let those ladies know how much we appreciate them. And many local businesses here in Wayne County that have sent us cards. It's amazing. We are so blessed. One of the reasons that I felt so much peace in bringing Dad from Charleston here was all of you. And I knew he would not be treated like a number, but he would truly be ministered to. And as Paul says, I have been comforted and received consolation from God in all this so that I can now comfort and console others as they deal with this terrible bondage of dementia and Alzheimer's. When your loved ones go through this, as Coach Sis said, there is no playbook for this. We are not equipped. Patty and I failed so much in this, but hopefully we can help others. But thank you so much for all that you have done for us. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. We thank you, Lord, that you take us to be with you. You want us to be with you. And while we are here on earth, you want us to experience you. So, Father, draw us all closer. Let us all remain in prayer one for another, in support one for another. And as I close today, Father, I pray for Courtney. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will hold this stone in place so that this emergency surgery can be done. It can be done quickly, and she can be feeling so much better to take care of this newborn baby boy. And so we pray for each other and we lift up each other today. In Jesus' name, amen.